Welcome to Office Hours with Adam Peterson, where I talk to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts to find answers to those day-to-day questions about life and work in Luxembourg. If you have questions you'd like answered, let me know at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to today's show. Venice is the city of dreams, Paris is the city of lights, and Luxembourg, it's the city of social security. If you're on Instagram, you may recognise this as a meme from Not Claire in Luxembourg, and it was this meme that motivated me to follow her. But how can people make money from Instagram? And how is my attention being harvested by advertisers? And why can't I get through the highlights of the F1 races without being bombarded by three adverts from Volt? To help me answer this question and more, I have Volt's marketing manager, Marjolaine de Bonafos. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I have the founder and owner of marketing agency Concept Factory, Daniel Eichen.
Hello.
And I have, from Instagram, the digital creator, Not Claire in Luxembourg.
Thank you.
So I want to start off by understanding how this environment works. So, Not Claire, how did the meme account start off?
Well, a few years ago, just over 2 years ago to be exact, I was then a slightly younger woman in her then mid-20s. And I was very aware I was navigating life abroad as an immigrant, dealing with kind of cultural, social, multilingual challenges as part of that. And often I would tell my friends funny stories about day-to-day happenings that were happening here in Luxembourg to my life. And I had the idea, oh, it'd be funny to write a book or a blog about the sort of things that were happening.
But then you realised that was 1990s.
Correct, exactly. I figured that was a bit out even before my time of existence. And I said, okay, something with more short form content. How about an Instagram account? And from there, the idea was born.
Yeah, and it started off with which name?
So it started off originally with the name Not Emily in Luxembourg, partly because I was somewhat inspired by the hype around Emily in Paris. And I remember talking with my friend saying, yeah, my life here, it feels like Emily in Paris, except I'm not Emily in Luxembourg. And that was it. And then from there, the name has since transitioned to its current form of Not Claire in Luxembourg. But that is also another story.
So I pick up on the memes from Not Claire in Luxembourg, and then I get hit by adverts. And quite often, they come from Volt. So, Marjolaine, tell me a bit about Volt's advertising, their appearance on these platforms, and what you want to get out of it.
By doing marketing, I think the main goal of Volt is to drive consumer forward to the app, because we trust in our product, in our selection, and our main goal is to make the public aware that we are in Luxembourg.
So that's the Volt app, though, not the Instagram app.
Yeah.
They're already spending enough time on Instagram as it is. But you appear on lots of different apps.
Yeah, a lot. And we are using Instagram also. We are using almost all the online channels that we can use to really maximize our reach. Our target is everybody in Luxembourg, because everybody can order. So we use all those channels.
Mm. Do you do normal advertising as well? Do you do TV ads and posters?
We are doing, yeah, some offline ads, traditional ads. I think this is a classical way to work for brand awareness, but to really produce an immediate effect and a high impact, we have to work with Instagrammers, with Facebook, with Google, and so on.
And what portion of your advertising is traditional versus Facebook and Instagram?
In Lux, offline is really expensive, so it's almost 50-50. But if it was cheaper, I think it would be more 60 for online or 70 for online. We like to work on online channels because the effect is immediate, and we can really shift our budget, play with the data, and see what works, what doesn't work, and so on.
So I guess on Instagram, after I've looked at Not Claire's meme, then it pops up, I can click the link and I can straight away download the app onto my phone. Whereas if you're looking at a poster, you've got to get your phone out. It's those extra steps, those barriers to getting you involved with your product.
Yeah.
Daniel, you're one of the people that helps bring all this together. So how has
it
changed?
That's what we try to do.
Yeah. How has it changed, and how has advertising changed with these new media coming?
I think it's actually absolutely like Marjolaine just described it. It's we all come from a traditional offline world 20 years ago that was a mass market. We addressed with one simple message the entirety of the market. And the digital disruption has learned and taught us how we can address individuals in specific situations. And when you talk about yourself, that's actually very interesting, because somehow we must have succeeded in targeting you, because when you get the message, you get it as part of a group, of a community, rather than the idea of having the mass market. So digital allows you really to personalize and to target people.
How focused do you get? I actually had an advert yesterday, Vault/Simon Says Chicken. Is everyone getting the Simon Says Chicken, or do you think that I'm particularly into fast food?
In this specific case, everybody will have this ads, but we can target you on other way, perhaps during lunchtime or during breakfast, or perhaps where you are located, if there is a Simon Says Chicken, specific criteria like this.
It's actually the big change in marketing, that the time, the place, the message, the type of interaction you're looking for can all be personalized for almost everybody around the country.
So this must be a totally different skill set from the one that you grew up with.
Absolutely.
I imagine when you were growing up as a marketing agent, were you creative? Was that your job to be creative? And now, are you a data junkie? Help me understand that, that journey.
I think a traditional agency, the communication has always been a number of things. It's the creation, and the creation is always based on strategy, on message, on target audience, on kind of conversion you want to have. And then there's the channeling it out, so it means media. What kind of media do you have? And if you're living in the year 1990, you have less media than if you're living in 2025. Many years ago, you would only have 5 media, print, TV, etc. Today, you have a huge number of channels of media that you can use, and each channel is specific, because people use it and consume its content at specific points in time, specific ways, etc. So the art today is to still be a marketer, meaning still to understand who is Vault, what is a brand, what do they have to offer, how would they position themselves, what is specific, what are the key messages, and on the other side, who are they talking to, and why would these people care at a certain point in time, and you need to try to target them at this specific time, and then to deliver the kind of message that they want to have. And that's the big art today, to remain creative, strategic, understand business goals, and still understand the data that is behind.
So Marjolaine, have you advertised through digital creators as well in Luxembourg?
Yes, we are. We are, and we are more and more using this channel.
So who have you used? Go on.
We did some collaboration with someone who is doing more or less the same as NotClair, okay. Called LuxMeme. And for us, it's really cool to collaborate with this kind of creative, because it's something out of the box. It's not a traditional media. It allows us to really enter in the life of the user.
So I want to get back to NotClair then, because I'll be stood there at the bus stop, waiting for the bus, scrolling through, and then I'll see this thing of you zooming down the street with a Velo. And I'll be like, oh, what am I doing here? I should get a Velo.
Yes.
So are you sponsored by Velo?
No, I'm not sponsored by
Velo.
You're
not sponsored by Velo?
No, I'm not. But I will say part of some of the collaborations that I have done in the past have come from me doing such posts of genuinely showing appreciation for parts of life in Luxembourg that I like. So I'm not sponsored by Velo, but if they wanted to sponsor me, that could be quite interesting, for example, as an avid Velo user.
Luxlay Eggnog.
Yes, exactly. So so I've never been paid by Luxlay, but I really genuinely like their Luxlay products. And also part of the reason why I make content about Luxlay or other brands, for example, is because I feel it will resonate with my audience. So I know that it's something that they're interested in or that they enjoy. And I see this each year when the Luxlay Eggnog comes back into the shops, that people are happy to see it. And while I haven't collaborated with Luxlay in that regard, they sent me a PR package 1 year, which was quite nice, you know, which would have only come about from me making that kind of content in the first place.
I think that's the attraction from yours, is because they're authentic to you as an individual.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Tinder don't want to sponsor you.
Yeah, Tinder probably doesn't want to sponsor me. No. Or Amazon, for example. But
emotionally unavailable people from Big Four and Amazon. But anyway. On the story of matchmaking, whilst on your account, it seems though you're a little bit unlucky in love.
I mean, it's my choice. It's okay.
there is a cool story about how you made some, share that story with us.
Indeed, indeed. So this was kind of a story of rather, I would say, a missed connection. So, you know, in the past when people would, I guess some people do it today, write to their local newspaper about a missed connection. I saw this lovely lady, I saw this fine gentleman, they were wearing this, I want to find them. I had a similar kind of occurrence on the account where a long-term follower wrote to me and said, my friend was waiting at the bus stop in Bonnevoie, and they overheard someone, overheard a woman speaking into the phone in Arabic and recognised it as being the Lebanese dialect of Arabic, and he himself was also Lebanese. So they struck up a conversation and they were talking for a few moments, and then she hopped on the bus and went away, and he never got her name, he never got her number, and immediately regretted his decision. So his friend reached out to me with this kind of missed connection attempt, asking if I could share on my stories this story, and if by chance the woman were to reach out and present herself, that to see if I could put them in contact, and it worked. So a few hours after posting the story, three of this girl's friends wrote to me separately saying, I know this person, she told me about this guy, he was really nice, and then I asked, would you be okay if I put you in touch with the guy, and in the end they were put in contact. So at least I'm playing Cupid for other people.
Do you know if they're still dating?
From my understanding, it didn't work out, but they did have a few nice dates together. So I think even if it doesn't work out, it just goes to show the power of being able to make those kind of connections via social media, which for me was very nice to see.
Yeah, and you do some paid sponsorships. So there was some tickets quite recently. And then there was one for a restaurant you'd been to. And I wasn't sure if that was just a free meal you'd got or that was a paid promotion. So do you make much money from paid promotions on the account?
So I don't make a life-changing sum of money. Like, in full transparency, I've probably made about a month's salary of my actual job, which is just, you know, a normal day job as a content creator in Luxembourg. For me, it is a hobby. It's a side project that I have, which I very much enjoy, but I didn't make the account to make money. I kind of made the account as a creative outlet at the time for my life. But yes, I would make some money from such sponsored posts too.
And do you get any money from the platform itself? Because you don't.
No.
Because even though you'll see one of your memes and then there'll be a paid advert, so your content is driving me onto that platform, but you don't get any money from the platform.
No, no, indeed, I don't. The only way that I monetize content on my account, it is by directly working with a client who says, they come to me and say, we would like to have a sponsored post or we would like to have a sponsored story. I come with a proposal and then the payment is handled off the platform. So, you know, I invoice them directly and then I just tag the content on my page as a sponsored post, so that people can see transparently it's paid, but it's not via Instagram directly.
Yeah. How did you get all your followers at the beginning? It's just a question of a small Luxembourg word of mouth, or you did special activities, activation?
Honestly, people have asked me this in the past. I would say the thing that worked for me was consistency. I've been very consistent with how I post 2-3 times a day. Every day I have not missed a day. So if I go on holidays, I'll schedule it before the time I'm away. I think a bit of luck, and I would say also, to give credit to myself, a good sense of humour. I think my sense of humour has resonated with people in Luxembourg. I think the mixture of having some positive, some maybe more critical content as well, but positive content as well, has also had a nice impact, not just with the immigrant community, but also with local Luxembourgish people too, that they don't have the feeling that I moved here and that I'm just complaining all the time, but rather also that I appreciate what life has to offer here and the opportunities that I've been given. So I would say a combination of those three factors.
If there's a week where you haven't posted on the weather, that's because that's when you're on holiday and they're all scheduled.
Yeah, and I don't know what the weather is. I don't know what's happening exactly. Indeed.
And you are still doing it with this regularity, with this frequency?
Yes.
And it's your own rule?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's, I mean, of course, it's not that deep, right? It's just Instagram. So if I don't post for a few days, the world is not going to end. Luxembourg is going to carry on being Luxembourg. But I almost feel the sense of obligation in a way, that I'm happy to make people laugh. And also for me as well, it's a good moment that I take for myself, and I have some creativity and I get my thoughts out in another format.
So now we know about some of the players involved in this economic activity. Let's take a break. Let's come back and we'll get into some of the detail. This episode of Office Hours is sponsored by the delivery platform Volt, bringing you delicious food and whatever you need to your home or office in 30 minutes. Try Volt today with the discount code OFFICEHOURS, in one word, all capitals, for 50% off on your first purchase with Volt. Download the app in the App Store or go to volt.com. Bon appétit. Luxembourg has about 660,000 residents. Just under half, about 300,000, are aged between 15 and 44. And Not Clear in Luxembourg has over 45,000 followers. So I estimate about 15% of that age group actively follow Not Clear in Luxembourg. I, on the other hand, have only 1,000 followers on LinkedIn, about a third of 1% in the same age group. So welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, we looked at who is involved in digital marketing and social media. And in part two, I want to get into the conversation about how it works. Now, I realise I may be shooting myself in the foot here, but I've got a tiny following compared to Not Clear, yet my show is being sponsored by Vault and not Not Clear's. So am I mistaken? It looks like this market doesn't work.
You're right. No, I think sponsoring is a part of a global strategy, and working with content creative is also part of a global strategy, but a combination of both is a perfect marketing, adding some offline, some online channel and so on. But you can't drive your marketing just with a sponsoring or just with a content creator.
I think one of the important points is engagement. So it's very often when you say, what are the KPIs? What are the key performance indicators? I need to have a big following. It's like when we started working for clients doing their social media years ago, they wanted to have 5,000, 10,000 fans, etc. And that was the key. It's once I have 10,000, we've been working for many, many years for Luxair. So we need to reach 100,000. The question is, what are you going to do with them? How can you keep 100,000 people engaged? So clearly today, it's the size of the community doesn't really give an information about the quality or the value of it. It's the kind of engagement you want to have. So if you have a community of 150 people, and out of these 150 people, there are 143 who like each post that you send, then you're in the top tier of relevance, even if you don't have the volume. And like those are the two things. You might have lots of people who like you, but what you sent out, is it relevant for them? Do they interact with you or don't they? And that's finally where the value chain is.
For you, Not Clear, does it matter to you whether someone likes or doesn't like your post?
I mean, it doesn't matter in the sense that it doesn't hurt me emotionally whether they like it or don't like it. I don't take offense. In terms of how it would affect my engagement, yes. I mean, the more that someone engages with my content, be it by liking or commenting or saving or sharing it with their friends, the more that the algorithm is more likely to drive my content towards other people who don't already follow me, or to prioritize my content in the feeds of people who do follow me already. So the engagement does matter in terms of giving my content a boost. That being said, I run a meme account, so it's not that my complete like livelihood depends on this account. So I often remind myself it's not that deep. But of course, it is nice that if I have a good idea, that it's reflected well.
You are doing this in your leisure part of your life, but are you looking at the statistic? Are you trying to, for example, if you see a post with reaching, with engaging half of your audience or whatever, do you think, okay, I will try to to redo some post in this
it's an interesting
in this way?
Interesting question. So I do look at my statistics, partly because some of my clients ask for it and I usually offer that information. So I tell them my audience demographics, the engagement rates, but there's always going to be content outliers. So I do have some reels that go really very viral, but beyond the borders of Luxembourg, and they can completely skew my numbers in a way that my reach is, you know, Instagram tells me my reach is 5 million people. There's not 5 million people in Luxembourg. And as to whether I would want to tailor my content in that regard, I think the posts that tend to be outliers usually are less Luxembourg specific. I mean, they appeal to a broader audience, but ultimately my account is very much geared at people living in Luxembourg or coming to Luxembourg visiting. So I wouldn't personally be interested in changing my response in that respect. But sometimes I notice a trend, more positive content does better, and then I adapt my slant. If I'm having a bad day, I post a bit less.
So you can see your demographic then?
Yes.
And how does it skew? Is it fairly broad across the 15 to 44 age group?
So, I mean, I think approximately 50% of my audience are based in Luxembourg, and the rest largely being in the border region. And my largest, the age segment with the largest proportion of my followers, I think it's between 25 to early 30s segment. And then just below that as well, like early 20s, late teens as well.
And your most viral post was that Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, it was the Snoop Dogg one. Yeah.
And is Snoop Dogg still following you?
No, he's not. I'm sure he kind of woke up from his slumber and said, why am I following this account in Luxembourg? But it was a fun 2 weeks in my life, you know.
For you, Daniel, is part of your role to start to play almost agent for creatives like Not Clear?
But that's something we absolutely do. You can call it however you want. It's you could call it the influencer area. We call it the content. It's everything that is linked to content. So what we'd be talking about here, if we talk about Notclair or about the way how Vault or brand, other brands try to interact with their audiences, it's we traditionally lived, all of us, we lived in a world of advertising, of promotion, of publicity. And we've seen over the years that advertising is dying. So just promoting how good you are, how nice you are, is not relevant for people. People who surf the web or the social media all through the day, they don't want to be confronted to all your promotional stuff, but they want to see content. They want to see stories. If you're a client of Luxair, you don't want to see only ticket prices, but you want to hear about hotels, about restaurants, about food, about destinations, about beaches, etc. Content, you're going to eat it. You're going to consume it. Advertising, promotion, you will resist it. And that's where the influencers come in. The influencers and everything which you call branded content is a media, is a content type, can be created, can be planned, should be integrated in the overall media mix. And that's where agencies come in. Which influencers works best with a client? What project could we do together? How does it match the other strategic approaches that we have? You see, there's a lot of work to be done. It's nothing spontaneous. You're going to just say, oh, you got 150,000 people. Come on, do some stuff for us. Do you match my brand? Do you tell the same story?
The other bit I want to move on to then is a bit of things that don't work. Whilst I get, I'm there watching F1 on YouTube and it pops up and says Vault and I think, oh, I fancy some Simon Says Chicken. That works for me as an advert. But a couple of other ones I've had just don't work. My day job is at the Luxembourg School of Business. And I was getting pinged all the time for go and do an MBA at ESADE. I'm like, that's my direct competitor. Why would I ever do that? That's insane. And then I bought my kids something for Christmas, some Manscaped products. And then after Christmas, for the next 3 months, I was getting Manscaped adverts all the time. It's like, well, that would have been useful before I bought the products, but it's not a impulse purchase like some Simon Says Chicken. It's something you buy. So what's going wrong there? Or is it people claiming they can do targeting and just doing it badly?
It's probably a mix of both or of three things. Targeting, that's the name. We try to target people. So we try to avoid doing mass marketing to send the same message to everybody. You're a single, you got a girlfriend, and you only go on holidays during weekends to big capitals. I want to avoid to send you promotions for family vacations during summer. You have a normal job, you're pretty young, I don't want to sell you a Rolls-Royce or a first class advertising. So we try to target people, but there are limits to it. And there are limits basically on the technology, but also on the legal approach to it. Since GDPR, there's stuff we cannot do anymore. So previously, you could really pretty much tag anybody, you could put what you call cookies on his computer and then really find out what his history was. But that has disappeared mostly. So now more and more you try to find trends so that the scope becomes larger. It's much more difficult to really identify a group of people. The group becomes bigger. So legal limitations, technology limitations, there are just so much that you can fine-tune in your targeting. And then there are people who don't know really their job. So there's just people who... I'm sorry. I hope we do a good job. But I know I'm in the same case as you. You call it remarketing, meaning once you clicked on the link or you were on a website, then you got a trace of the fact that you were there. And then you can remarket, you can resend the same stuff to the same person. If guys do that 5 times per day over 3 months, there's something wrong with the way they spend their budget. Mm. Their clients should say, please stop, because after 2 weeks, I don't buy it. They should stop spending money.
And I guess there's a risk for not good marketing agencies to be saying they're targeting really well and they're doing the same thing. The other one I had, I bought a display, the metal posters for a friend, for one of my kids' friends.
Yeah.
And then for the next 3 weeks, I've got adverts about displays. It's like, well, yeah. I don't need the advert now. I've just bought one. This is insane.
And it's just bad for the brand. I'm sorry. We all talk about archetypes, about attitude, tone of voice, etc. And just being too aggressive makes that the brand looks very aggressive, very cheap, etc. And you want to avoid that. So your marketing pressure, advertising pressure, you should control it a little bit.
Yeah, it feels a bit like Big Brother is watching you, you know? Like,
And then just to bring it back to the Luxembourg context. So we talked, I think, before, you don't make any money from the platform on Instagram, Notclair. Mm-hmm. Would you make money from any of the platforms? How they're different across platforms?
I mean, I don't make money directly from Instagram.
So why don't you move to YouTube?
I don't know, are people still making YouTube videos? I mean, yes they are. For the time being, I still enjoy this kind of quasi-anonymity that I maintain on the Instagram account. And I also enjoy the short form content. So just being able to kind of quickly have an idea to execute it on the page and then to post it in a matter of minutes. You know, I have a day job as well. So having the content in this short format, it helps me to sort of balance the two without having any effects on my work, and also without it consuming my life as well, in that I like Instagram, but I don't want to spend all day staring at another screen.
Is there anyone big enough in Luxembourg to be making money as a content provider on YouTube?
I would say yes, but only it's really brand partnerships. Yeah. So out of pure volume, out of pure engagement, I can't imagine that anybody's here who's big enough. But there's lots of opportunities to talk to brands and to work together.
For all those parents of young children out there who claim they're going to be YouTubers, they've missed the boat. Mr. Beast has got it locked down, right?
There's still YouTubers, but talk to the brands. See how you can work with brands, how you can create funny, interesting, educative, entertaining content. We all look for that.
Yeah,
we love looking at content. It's really something we love to do. We love stories, and we love to see people like us do something. It's much closer to us than the brands talking about themselves. Mm. So it's good, but find a deal.
Doom scrolling.
I think, not Claire, there's airlines getting people on weekend breaks.
Yeah,
isn't that one of yours?
I wouldn't mind a bit of that.
you seem to be on a plane every week, as I can see on your account. That's been a lot of fun, but unfortunately we've run out of time. So I'm just going to say thank you to my guests and ask how people would get in contact with them. Daniel, if people wanted to contact you, how would they do that?
Daniel Eichen, LinkedIn and Instagram. I love making cocktails. I published a cocktail book. If you like cocktails, you can check also my cocktail recipes on Instagram.
I've never had that extra advert put in. Congratulations on
nice.
Not Claire in Luxembourg, I'm guessing. Instagram?
Via Instagram at Not Claire in Luxembourg.
Okay. And Marjolaine, I've had people from Volton before, and they always just tell me to download the app and order Taste the Food. Is that the way to get in contact with you? Or if people want to be involved on the marketing side of Volt, how would they get in contact?
Yeah, they can send me a message on LinkedIn or Instagram.
Thank you all for coming on today, and thank you to the listeners.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.